Truth Radio. TRWTH Radio. We are live and direct in the studio. Truth Radio once again. I'm your host, Adewale. Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. And happy Sabbath. Shabbat Shalom to the nation of Israel. Only if you guys know your power. If you guys can understand the history of your ancestors, you will claim it wholeheartedly, faster than your heart skipping a beat. You don't know the power that lies in you. You don't know the power that lies in you. You don't know that the spirit of your ancestors, they're calling you on a secondly basis. Do you know what lies in your hands? Do you know what lies in your hands? Do you know the value of your existence, my people? Let's forget about the other nations. Let's forget about the mockery, the byword. You know, the abused. Let's forget about all that. Let's focus on ourselves. We are the people that the Almighty has given His word to teach the rest of the world. Only if He can give every individual. As far as Israel is concerned, the office of a priest. To be able to teach all nations. Only if He can give every individual the office of a priesthood. That was his first agenda. That was His first intent in the old covenant. After our people came from Egypt, left Egypt, excuse me. You don't know the power that you have, my people. You don't know the power that lies in your hands. The precious people of the Almighty. The golden people, the gold of the earth. The 12 tribes of Yahweh. They know themselves. Those who are awakening. It's a gradual process. You know yourself. And those who have been awakened, they know themselves. All the 12 tribes of Israel, I love you. With the very bottom of my heart, I love you. The world is waiting for you to take your mantle. Yahweh is waiting for you to take your mantle. When would that be? When are you going to take the bull by its horn? When are you going to wake up the valley of the dry bones? When are you going to wake up the valley of the dry bones? The mountains scream your name. Israel. Israel. Wake up. The valleys. The lakes, the rivers, the ponds, the seas, they're roaring. like a lion. Yisrael, wake up. We're waiting for you. It is only we ourselves. We have turned to drunkards. We have turned to a drunkard. We are staggering left and right, up and down. We cannot stand properly. Why is it so? The word is waiting for you, Yehuda. The word is waiting for you, Benjamin. The word is waiting for you, Mr. Dan. The word is waiting for you, Naphtali. The word is waiting for you, the Levites. Great people. Great tribe. The word is waiting for you, Mr. Reuben. Not my mechanic, called Reuben. But collectively, as a tribe. The word is waiting for you, Mr. and Mrs. Simeon. Issachar, where are you, brother? Where are you, my sister? Zebulun, wake up. The word is waiting for you. God. Not G-O-D, but rather G-A-D. The word is waiting for you, my brother. Asher. Ooh! Asher. Ooh! Asher. Yahweh is waiting for you. And Ephraim and Manasseh. The word is waiting for you. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. For those who don't know, this is the 12 tribes of Israel. This is exactly the tribes of Israel that the word has forgotten. I'm your host, Adewale. And every Shabbat, we go live. Lord's willing. Every Shabbat, we go live. This is Truth Radio again. We are live and direct in the studio. We are live and direct in the studio. For those who are just tuning in, for the newcomers out there, welcome to Truth Radio. Welcome to Truth Radio. It is a privilege to speak behind this mic and to reach out to the word. The media has failed us. Our brothers and sisters, that they're supposed to be the whistleblowers, they have failed us. Our fathers and our mothers, they've woefully failed us. Our so-called prophets, preachers, evangelists, bishops, apostles, even our brethren, they have ultimately failed us. But we know that the Halahayim are up there waiting that we turn back to him. And his son, the same son that my ancestors crucified and killed, not the white man, our ancestors, because they ever wanted to release Yahushai, that we said, no, give us Barnabas and do away with that man, the African brother, who looked just like me and you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor and the adoration that you have made it possible for us to see the beginning of a new day. It is not by power, neither is by might or by grace and mercy, but it is by your grace, Father, and your mercy through the innocent blood of my brother, Yahusha, who died for our sins. He is the reason why we're still here today to even acknowledge you. He is the reason why we're still here today to even be present as we delight in your Shabbat, which simply means to cease from work and to rest. What a privilege. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the listeners out there. We thank you for those who are tuning in, who are currently listening to this platform that you have given as a voice to the voiceless, to the less privileged ones, to the orphans, to the widows, to those who are poor and who are in need. In fact, for your whole creation, in all circumstances, in all situations, we thank you. For this is a platform of the people, for the people, and by the people. We thank you. We thank you for everything that you have done for us. We thank you for what you have done in the past. We thank you for what you're doing right now in the present. And we thank you for what you're going to do in the future. Father, use us for your latter glory. Humble us and correct us in love. Help us in our desperate times of need. Protect our children. Guide them. Walk with them in this vicious and cruel world called planet Earth. Father, for those who are in need, that you provide for them. For those who are sick, who are deaf, dumb, lame, blind, in all circumstances, Father, touch them. Send your spirits from heaven. Send your malaika, which is angels in English. Touch these people. Touch them so they can be whole again. In the name of Yahusha, we thank you. We give you the glory and the honor and the adoration. All praises to the Most High Christ. Once again, this is Truth Radio. For those who are just tuning in, I greet you all in the name of Yahusha. Welcome to this platform as I'm your host, Adewale. We thank you. And you know how we do it, Truth Radio? As we are a student of the book. And we will forever be a student of the book. Before we start today's class, I want everybody to gather themselves together. Gather your families together. Get your notes, your pencils, your crayons, your markers, your Bible. And whatever that you need to entertain yourself to keep you going. Get your wine. But I believe the Ruach, the Holy Spirit, is another element to keep you going. This is a fascinating book called the Bible. We don't preach it like other Christians do. We teach it to bring the beauty of it. For those who don't know, we're live and direct, and the application is out there in both Google Store and Apple Store. All you have to do is just type in Truth Radio. Spell T-R-W-T-H Radio. And that's how you can download the app. Once you download the app, click on it, and we are live. I had to pause for a minute. Israel, wake up. Wake up, Israel. Wake up, my people. Wake up and take the mantle by force. That is your God-given right. So, we are going to continue further on today's class. Please make sure that you have all these resources so you can take notes. It's very important. Very, very important. You take notes so you can study them later. And for those who actually joined this class last Shabbat, we talked about slavery. We talked about, organ stealing, child sex trafficking, sex trade, and things of that nature. And we went political. We exposed the reality of our word. We exposed what's going on in today's word. How that fits in to the commandment, thou shalt not steal. We gave you the definition of thou shalt not steal in the Hebrew word ganab, which simply means to thief, to deceive, to take away secretly, to take another person's or person's property without his knowledge. And we went deep into it. So we touched on pretty much what's happening in the world today and how people stealing one another, harvesting their organs, selling my brothers and sisters or our brothers and sisters from Africa, deceive them, into having, making a better life for themselves, only for them to end up in Libya. And they were being sold as slaves, as they were auctioned off in Libya and shipped off into different parts of the world. And we went deep into it. We exposed a few countries like China, how corrupt and evil they are. So we went in on them. It's not strange. This is what's going on. It has been happening for centuries, and it has been a big money maker for these billionaires, especially these so-called Jews. How they sell, organs in the black market and things of that nature. And we also, before we end the last Shabbat, we read Genesis, the 31st chapter, verses 1 and all the way. And that's where we stopped. So we'll pick it up from there. You know, as we haven't touched on, you know, part of thou shalt not steal, which is to deceive. We've touched base on other meanings. And to deceive is one that we've not touched on. So we are going to read Genesis, the 31st chapter, verses 1 again, all the way down, for clearer understanding. Remember, the Hebrew word ganab means to steal. It also means to thief, to deceive, to take away secretly, to take another person or a person's property without his knowledge. So these we've touched on, except to deceive. And we're going to touch on that, and Lord's willing, we should end the class. We should end the commandment, thou shalt not steal, in today's Shabbat class. And we will continue from next Shabbat on another commandment, Lord's willing. So let's read from Genesis, the 31st chapter, from verse 1 to 40. I read. Jacob heard that Laban's sons were saying, Jacob has taken everything our father owned and has gained all this wealth from what belonged to our father. And Jacob, a servant of Yahweh, noticed that Laban's attitude towards him was not what it had been. Verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, go back to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. Verse 4. So Jacob sent word to Rachel and Leah to come out of the fields where his flocks were. Verse 5. He said to them, I see that your father's attitude towards me is not what it was before. But the God of my father, has been with me. You know that I've worked for your father with all my strength. Verse 7. Yet your father has cheated me by changing my wages 10 times. Hold that thought. Hold that for a second. However, God has not allowed him, or Yahweh has not allowed him to harm me. Verse 8, if he said the speckled ones will be your wages, this is talking about animals, cattle, not actual money. Then all the flocks gave birth to speckled young. And if he said the strict ones will be your wages, then all the flocks bore strict young. Verse 9, so Yahweh has taken away your father's livestock and has given them to me. Verse 10, in breeding season, I once had a dream in which I looked up and saw that the male goats mating with the flock having sex were streaked, speckled or spotted. Verse 11, then the angel of Yahweh said to me in the dream, Yaqub. He answered, here I am. And he said, look up and see that all the male goats mating with the flock are streaked, speckled, or spotted. For I have seen all that Laban has been doing to you. If that's spelled, speckled or speckled. I am the Yahweh of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar, and when you made a vow to me. Now leave this land at once and go back to your native land. Then Rachel and Leah replied, Jacob's wives, do we still have any share in the inheritance of our father's estate? That's a question. Does he not regard us as foreigners? Not only has he sold us, but he has used up what was paid for us. Verse 16. Surely all the wealth that Yahweh took away from our father belonged to us and our children. So do whatever Yahweh has told you. Then Jacob put his children and his wives, Rachel and Leah, according to what I've read, on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Padan Aram, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. Now, when Laban had gone to share his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean. Why? And how did Jacob deceive Laban? By not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, crossed the Euphrates River, and headed for the hill country of Gilead. How did Jacob deceive Laban, the Aramean? By simply not telling him that he was running away. Interesting. Verse 22. On the third day, Laban was told that Jacob had fled, taking his relatives with him. He pursued Jacob for 7 good days and caught up with him in the hill country of Gilead. Then God came to Laban, the Aramean, in a dream at night and said to him, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Jacob had pitched his tent in the hill country of Gilead when Laban overtook him, and Laban and his relatives camped there too. Then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Why didn't you tell me so I could send you away with joy and singing of the music and timbrels and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your fathers said to me, be careful not to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Now you have gone off because you long to return to your father's household. But why did you steal my gods? 31. Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought that you would take your daughters away from me by force. But if you find any who has your gods, the person shall not live in the presence of our relatives. See for yourself whether there is any of yours here with me, and if so, take it. Now, Jacob did not know that Rachel had stolen the goods. Let me pause there. I saw quite a few deceive me. Let's go back. Remember, the Hebrew word ganab simply means to thief, to deceive, to steal one person's or one's property. So we're going to touch base on deceive today. Now, the verse here, then Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives of war. Now, let's touch on that word, deceive. The deceive there in verse 26 is the strong number H1589. Now, what is the usage of that word or the strong number? The usage of this word is either carried away, secretly bring, steal away, or get by stealth. Now, the definition of the deceive, which is a strong number, H1589, is to thief, either literally or figuratively, by implication, or again, to deceive, as we just read in verse 25. Now, let us get the detailed definition of it. One, to steal, or to steal away, or to carry away. It could mean to steal, which is kal, to be stolen, nifal, to steal away, PL, to be stolen away, or be brought by stealth, pual, or to go by stealth, or steal away, if pael. Now, for you guys are thinking, or wondering, or confused, or don't know the meaning of the word stealth. Now, let's bring out the definition of stealth. Be brought by stealth, which is poal, or if pael, to go by stealth or steal away. Let's get the definition of it. Now, the word stealth itself, the word stealth simply means when you do something and you do it so quietly and carefully that no one notices. It's just like one who's sneaky. And you know when one is sneaky, you know that the person is up to no good. You know, the person is sneaky, the person is up to no good. Now, to be stolen away, or to be brought by stealth. You brought something by carrying something that most cases does not belong to you. And you took it sneakily. You took it without anyone's notices or notice. You brought by stealth. You sneakily took it when no one is watching. In most cases, it doesn't belong to you, because why would you take something? If you know that thing belongs to you, why will you be sneaky about it? Doesn't make any sense. Now, if pael, or if pael, to go by stealth. To go by stealth, to go. When you take something in a very subtle, sneaky fashion, you take it without anyone's approval or notices. You just took it secretly. Now, can you say that this perfectly fits into that text, which is verse 26? And Laban said to Jacob, what have you done? You've deceived me, and you've carried off my daughters like captives in war. Why did you run off secretly and deceive me? Bingo. Why didn't you tell me that I could have sent you away with joy and singing to the music of timbrels and harps? You didn't even let me kiss my grandchildren and my daughters goodbye. You have done a foolish thing. Now, why did Jacob did such? The answer is given in verse 31. Jacob answered Laban, I was afraid because I thought you would take your daughters away from me by force. This is the reason why Jacob secretly took off without anyone notices, without even the approval of anyone. According to verse 19 and 20. When Laban had gone to share a ship, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Then, moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was running away. Not just him, but rather Laban's daughters and his grandchildren. He didn't even get to say bye to them. But Jacob was scared. Because he was afraid that his master would not allow his wives to go. He was afraid because he thought that Laban would take his daughters away from him by force. And that's the reason why. As you can see the definition of the word deceive and what it means, and how we can fit that meaning into this text. You know, which again is the root word H1589. To carry away indeed, secretly bring, steal away, get by stealth, and in definition, to thief, by implication, and to deceive. Which is the root word again, ganab. So it's in the root word ganab, which simply means to steal. So it falls in the same category. Either to steal, to be stolen, to steal away, to be stolen away, or be brought by stealth. You know, taking things and running off with it. You know, without the approval of the owner. Because obviously, again, if it's yours, you would not sneakily take it and run away with it. Or to go by stealth. To go secretly. To go by what? By telling no one. Especially if you have the person's property with you. Not that Jacob stole his properties, but it's just that he didn't tell the father, his wife's father, that he's leaving with them after he has served, you know, under the care of Laban, I believe for 20 years, if I'm not mistaken. Let me be sure of that. How many years did Jacob serve under the care of Laban? Yep, 20 years, according to verse 38. I've been with you for 20 years now. So that's it. So now you understand the word deceive, which again falls in the same, what? In the same Hebrew root meaning, ganab. To what? To carry away, which is the usage, secretly bring, steal away, or get by stealth. In definition, to thief, by implication, to deceive. And it could also mean, as I have said, to steal away one's person. Or person's property without his knowledge, which is still the same thing. So that's it. Now I have covered all the detailed definition of the word thou shalt not steal in the Hebrew context. Now, let's proceed further. Now we are going to shift towards the new covenant. as we know that we Christians, we cannot change the legal system. You know, a slave rebellion would have led to the execution of the rebels. Commanding Christians to free their slaves would not therefore have been legal, nor will it have worked. As by state law, some of those slaves will still not have been free. But we know, as we Christians, we're commanded to love others as Christ loved us. That means that people could no longer be treated as slaves anymore. But Christians would then become the servant of all, as Christ was, according to Philippians, the second chapter, verse 7. Now we are all servants of all, as Christ was to his people. When Yahushua comes back, he will establish again the high law of his kingdom. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Remember Israel. Remember Israel. As Yahushua said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. Thou shalt love the Lord with thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and soul. And the second is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as yourself. I believe the first four constitute loving thy father with all thy mind, heart, and soul. And the last six is like unto the first, love thy neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. This is what you have to do to be perfect. According to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37 to 40. On these two commandments, if you fulfill these two commandments, you've hanged on the laws and the prophets. You are now a perfect human being. Just like what? Just like the prophets. Again, you hang on these two commandments, you fulfill the law and the prophets. The new covenant invites the repentant disciples of Yahushua to live as a new person, according to the law of love. The new covenant invites the repentant disciples of Yahushua to live as a new person in Christ. As behold, all things have passed away, and all things have become new. According to this law of love, let's open to the book of Romans, the 6th chapter. Verse 4. Romans, the 6th chapter. Verse 4. When we are therefore buried with them through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Behold, all things have passed away. To be born again, to repent and to forsake our sins, and to confess that, yes, Yahushua died on that cross for us, to turn a new leaf, to be reborn again. Not going into your mother's womb. As I think one of the scribes, what's his name? What's that guy's name? Is it is it Lazarus, if I'm not mistaken? Oh, Nicodemus. I believe it's Nicodemus. So we are to forsake ourselves. Let us bury ourselves into the newness of life. And let us live a new life. This is very important. It is very essential. You know? And that means we should not steal. We should not steal our brothers and sisters and sell them into slavery or for profit. We are not to what? We are not to take away secretly what doesn't belong to us without the approval of the owner. We are not to steal other belongings and things of that nature. We are to repent and be reborn again. Let's open to the book of Hebrew, the 10th chapter, from verse 19 to 24. Hebrew, the 10th chapter, from verse 19 to 24. This would be in NIV, I believe, New International Version. It's simplified for the sake of clarity. Not to say that they are not errors, but it's simplified and it brings clearer understanding. And for those who are just new into the faith, I chose this translation for a reason. Not that it's the perfect translation, but it's simplified. Now, the Hebrews, the 10th chapter, from verse 19 to 24, I read. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Yahusha, by a new and living way opened for us, through the curtain, that is his body. The curtain is his body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, Yahusha, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. This law should influence our whole view of our duty towards others and our capacity to serve them and the Lord. Paul urged that he who stole according to Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 28. Paul urged that he who stole should steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth it. To prevent, the spirits of stealing. Paul himself, the apostle of Christ, urged the readers, which is you and I. In fact, the whole world, that we are to work with our hands, we are to labor. And when we do that, we can earn an income, which prevents us from going out there to steal. Now, people will say, well, in a very old-style economy, specifically Africa, where nothing works, there are no jobs and things of that nature. Well, I'll say this, though. If you have a gift, please make use of it. If you have a gift, if you have talents, this is what the Almighty Himself have given us to feed ourselves. Remember, before we're created, He had all those things in mind. So He's not just going to create us without no talent and gift or our strength, you know, to put us into what? Into starvation. He knows that we have to eat. He is responsible for us. And that is the reason why He has instilled this element, this gift and talent, to be able to use to feed our families and significantly to glorify Him. Remember, He is our provider. He is the Heavenly Father Himself. And He will use Yahushua, whom the world called Jesus the Christ, to provide for our needs. He gave us this talent and gift for a reason, not to bury them, but to use them, to utilize them, to sharpen them. And that will make way for us. Now, there are some situations whereby we have to work. You know, it just depends on the system where we are currently. I know that it varies. In some other countries, our gift and talents don't mean anything. But again, He is the creator. Do what is right. Keep these laws and keep this commandment of His. Communicate with the Father. And he said, seek His kingdom and all His righteousness, and everything will be added unto us. We ain't got to worry about our daily needs. They will be met. We don't have to worry about these things. Just do your part. And He got the rest. You know, just be faithful. There's no way that our needs will not be taken care of. We will not beg. That's one thing. We are not going to be in the streets on this earth and beg. Even the unbelievers will look at us and say, where is your God? Make mockery. So I know one thing, that we are not going to go into the streets and beg, because He will take care of us. All our needs will be met. Do your part, and He will do His part. And that's why Paul urged that he who stole should steal no more, but rather let him labor, let him work. Prevent all these things from happening. Prevent you from being in the danger of the law of the land that you currently dwell, and also the divine judgment. Just find something doing. And the works of your hand will reap its fruits sooner or later. This is Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verse 28. And we know that loving one another, helping one another, it's a good thing. You know, as we rely on the Heavenly Father, we also rely in the body of Christ, the church. As for those who lack, their needs will be met. And for those who have to give, to give. So it should be balanced. If you have more to give, you give. And for those who lack, their needs will be met. And that's just how it has always been. You know, for love itself fulfills the law, according to Romans, the 13th chapter, from verse 8 to 10. Romans, the 13th chapter, from verse 8 to 10, I read. Let no debt remain outstanding. The only debt that we have is the continuing debt to love one another. That's a debt that we hold to one another, to continually loving one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Remember, love thy neighbor as yourself. And that is the second greatest commandment. And what is it? What is the commandment? You should not commit adultery. You should not murder. You should not steal. You should not covet. And whatever other command there may be are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's deep. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. That's why Paul said, you know, I can do miracles. I can, you know, I can heal the blind, you know, to regain their sight and do all these beautiful things. But if I have no love, what's the point? What is the point if I have no love and I do all these great things, but yet I have no love? I'm useless. I'm irrelevant. I've forsaken the law. I've forsaken the faith in Christ. You do all those things, but you have no love. Love and loving one another. Loving your neighbor as yourself. Which is, thou should not commit adultery. You should not murder. You should not steal. You should not covet. And whatever other command there may be, or summed up this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, our master is an example. Our master is a perfect example as a servant who loved us. And that is the reason why he died. He kept the Almighty Father's commandment. He was a righteous brother. He was a righteous African brother, Christ, even though he is the son of the living Yahweh, the Ancient of Days. He kept his laws and his commandments. Not just that, his statutes and his ordinances, and he perfected them on this earth. And that is why the Heavenly Father told his disciples, him. This is the man right here. Even John himself told his disciples, this is the man that you're looking for. This is the Christ. This is the Savior. This is the Redeemer of Israel. And look at us today. People don't even know that they're Israelites, scattered throughout the four corners of the earth, in whom Christ died for. We are spread across the globe. Name it. Name every country in this world. We are there. To tell you how real and how accurate and precise the book is. You know, this righteous element. Honesty. Love your neighbor as yourself. Integrity. Trust. Joy. Peace. These things can be what? Can be practiced. You just have to pray that the Lord give us the rock, the Holy Spirit, the flavor, the seasoning, Holy Spirit, to season our life, to make us flourish. To bring out that fruitful fruits. To show the world that we are not of this world. We live in his word, but we are not of this world. This righteous element cannot be legislated. You can put this in this, you know, in the laws of the land. You know, you can put these things into the constitution of your land. But if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot practice it. Evil will overtake you. Evil will overtake you. You can't practice these things according to the law, recite them. It's just what? It's of no effect. Because These are from what? From earth. These are from the earth. These are from the earth. It was just mere mortal, corrupt men that wrote it. They were not inspired by the heavens, but they were inspired by themselves. And that's the reason why, no matter how you practice this, it's of no effect. Tap into the Ruach. There ought to be a law. Many say when corruption raises its ugly head, and our answer is that there are laws, numerous laws, which are not enforced. But our further answer is that you cannot legislate goodness, honor, integrity, honesty, truth, justice, joy, faith, hope, kindness, long-suffering. I mean, it goes on and on and on. There must be a return to consciousness of those values. When people practice those values, the power of the spirit and the force of love can do what the law cannot overcome: the greed and covetousness that leads to stealing. No thief, thou shalt not steal, will ever get away with stealing. Thieves are in danger of losing their souls, and they will be subjected to judgment at the second coming of Yahushua, because they have violated the commandment of Yahweh, and in doing so have ultimately damaged themselves. Remember this commandment through his son Yahushua: be ye therefore prophet, even as your father, the Elohim, in its singular, not plural. Your father, which is in heaven, is prophet. Matthew, the 5th chapter, verse 48, which the prophet, the in Greek word, translate as to be whole or complete, not in Hebrew, but in Greek, which is not no difference from that of the Hebrew. It's certainly the same. But you need a tremendous amount of integrity. Do you have what it takes to be a perfect human being? To be whole? To be complete? Remember, in Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 20, the Messiah himself said, you know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not be a false witness, honor your father and thy mother. And the commandment goes on and on and on. We as his children, we have the potential to become as he is. But anything that we do that does not shape the godlike nature within us violates what we are. Our real selves and our internal kinship to our Heavenly Father. We're going to take a quick 5-minute break, and we're going to be back